Jingle.
This is Radio Energy News.
Good afternoon, I'm Saskia Williams and this is EN4 News. Part of an international campaign started by the UN, 16 Days of Activism continues this week at Edinburgh Napier University. Reporter Leila Wallace found out more.
In Edinburgh today, businesswomen from around the world are being celebrated as the 16 Days of Activism campaign continues, leading the fight against gender-based violence and inequality. At today's entrepreneurial event, we spoke to Nina Puri from Changing Perceptions at Edinburgh Napier University, who helped organise the campaign.
So this was mostly, it was started to raise awareness about gender-based violence primarily and to combat any sort of violence against women. But over the past few years, now it looks at all sorts of gender orientation, could be men, could be trans, could be non-binary. But of course the focus, because women in this specific context are in minority, so the focus is definitely on women and young girls. And in Scotland, we are the first university to lead it, the whole campaign, and we have 16 events spread everywhere in Edinburgh.
Bright Choices, a domestic violence support service, partnered together with Edinburgh Napier for today's event. Team leader Angela Vicari tells us more.
Today's event is really about raising awareness of violence against women and gender-based violence more widely by looking at different ways that people can be supported. So one of these ways is actually entrepreneurship, because we find that a lot of people who are actually in situations of domestic abuse or who are experiencing gender-based violence, they're not able to stay in employment or to even enter education or employment altogether.
The event hosted a number of businesswomen, with some promoting opportunities worldwide and others selling artisan goods, local produce and more. We spoke to Julia Layden, who owns Organically Yours, and Ivana Garask from Ivana Costume Design.
It empowers women. I see most of the women here establish their own businesses, which also is quite a powerful statement to see that women can do well.
Obviously, I'm a female who's the head of a company. It just empowers you to take your own financial well-being into your own hands.
Tom Evans, a widening participation leader at the event, explained why 16 Days of Activism is important from a male's perspective.
We're in a really interesting time with what's happening in the world with, I think, you know, everything that's kind of come out recently around the Harvey Weinstein thing. Just, I think there's a lot of people in my position, you know, white men who have maybe not recognised their own privilege, have suddenly realised kind of what a huge issue kind of this underlying misogyny is. And I think whether it's this event or any event really, it's about kind of saying, no, there is still work to be done.
There are lots more events coming up in Edinburgh as 16 Days of Activism continues. For more information, visit our website.
Ambulance waiting times in Scotland have seen a significant rise in recent years, an EN4 News investigation has found. New data shows some services failed to meet the suggested 8-minute target for the most serious call-outs. Our reporter Jamie McDonald has more.
People with life-threatening injuries are having to wait longer for an ambulance year on year in Scotland. A Freedom of Information request by this programme shows the most acute increase in waiting times is in the north of the country, in more rural areas. The region saw an increase from an average of 7.3 minutes in 2012 to 8.8 minutes this year. The leader of the SNP at Westminster, Ian Blackford, said the focus shouldn't be on how quickly ambulances get to emergencies, but instead on increasing the number of paramedics on call.
I mean, we all know about the golden hour and the challenge of getting to people in a timely manner and making sure that people can be attended to. I think I would even say there's the issue of the timescales, and we need to make sure that we can actually drive those down as much as we can. But secondly, it's about the type of care that people will get when they're attended to. And if I do have a concern at the moment, it wouldn't be so much about access to ambulances per se, but it would be access to paramedics.
The issue of care provision in isolated areas is not a new one, but today's findings throw up fresh questions for expectant mothers. I took a trip up north to the county of Caithness, where people have been fighting cuts to maternity care at the local hospital in Wick. The reduction in care is forcing pregnant women to travel some 100 miles to Inverness to give birth.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Bill Fernie is the chairman of Caithness Health Action Team, or CHAT, a campaign group based in Wick. He says it's time for a radical approach.
Why can't they set up a travelling paediatric service, not just for Caithness, it couldn't do, but for the whole of the Highlands and Islands, so that if they're based in Inverness, they have a team, and if it's necessary and you have a lady in Caithness or Orkney or Shetland, fly that team to the centre that they're required in.
Conservative MSP Edward Mountain represents the Highlands and Islands, including Caithness. I asked him if he was surprised by today's findings.
Well, not really, because when they decided to move the service or reduce the service in Caithness General, they did so without planning for it. So they actually worked out that they were going to take people to Inverness, they were going to use the ambulances to do it, which is fine. I think there were 3 or 4 ambulances up there, so an ambulance could be going down there. And what will happen is on its way back, it might get tasked in Golspie or somewhere else to do something, which means that the person who's ill in Wick has to wait longer.
Now to Daniel Tully for some sports news.
Arsene Wenger has said he expects stars Mesut Ozil and Alexis Sanchez to see out the season with Arsenal. The January transfer window will be the last chance to cash in on both players who are out of contract this summer.
For me, they stay until the end of the season. That's what I decided at the start of the season. They go into the final year of their contract. Will they stay longer? That's impossible to answer today because I don't know. But they have a contract until the end of the season.
The nominees for BBC Sport Personality of the Year 2017 have been announced, with Anthony Joshua the early favourite to win. The 12-strong shortlist includes F1 champion Lewis Hamilton and cyclist Chris Froome. The show takes place in Liverpool on December 17th. England cricket bosses say there are no plans to recall Ben Stokes to their Ashes squad in Australia, despite him flying to New Zealand. The banned all-rounder is said to have been in talks to sign for Kiwi side Canterbury.
When the incident happened in Bristol, he broke his hand doing that, so he's not been able to play, he's been practising at Durham. So he's going out there on a private holiday, if you like, and if he does get some cricket in, that's a pretty good thing.
A recent study has shown the financial gap in players' wages between Edinburgh teams Hibs and Hearts and Scottish champion Celtic. The research carried out by Sporting Intelligence found Hearts' average annual wage salary to be over £95,000, with rivals Hibs spending £87,000. Meanwhile, Celtic topped the list for Scottish teams, paying out nearly £250,000 on average per year. And that's all for your sports news.
To the local news now. The Edinburgh Council are reviewing a potential high school merger. Curry High and Wester Hills Education Centre could combine to form a new Southwest Edinburgh High School. If approved, the proposals would result in the new school opening in August 2022 and the eventual closure of both existing schools. Karen Gray has 2 students at Curry High.
The local community has, you know, done an awful lot to give the school the recognition that it has. The school itself is one of the best schools in Edinburgh. Statistics are really high for good achievement, and I feel that to tamper with that would be wrong.
Edinburgh leaders have urged the capital's public to back a new tourist tax scheme. The council's idea is to tax visitors to help create revenue to use for council services such as street cleaners. The idea is to help counteract the frozen council tax and budget cuts by the Scottish government. 3 Scottish councils could use up their cash reserves within 3 years, according to a public spending watchdog investigation. The Accounts Commission found Moray, Clackmannanshire and North Ayrshire faced running out of spare money for emergencies. The Commission said the amount of funds pledged by the Scottish Government was down by 7.6% in real terms from 2010 to 2011. A Scottish fiancé is among 6 British soldiers released from an Indian prison 4 years after being arrested. Billy Irving from Connell in Argyll was first jailed in 2013 while working as a security guard on a ship in the Indian Ocean to combat piracy. Lawyers say the men will have to spend some more time in India before they can expect to return home. In breaking news, Police Scotland have announced new appointments to its management team following the suspension of Assistant Chief Constable Bernard Higgins. The move comes 4 days after it emerged ACC Higgins is being probed over allegations of criminal and gross misconduct. In the latest health check of the sector, high street banks would be able to withstand a turbulent Brexit. Bank of Scotland and Barclays struggled to pass the checks, only passing because the regulator took account of efforts they had already made to increase their financial strength since the end of 2016.
Informed by the stress tests and our own risk analysis, the FPC also judges that the banking system can continue to support the real economy, even in the unlikely event of a disorderly Brexit.
A new study says 4 out of 5 full-term baby deaths in the UK could be prevented. Intense pressure from staffing and capacity problems were found to be the cause of 1 out of every 4 such deaths. Although these deaths are happening less often, the experts say obesity and the increasing trend towards older motherhood are making childbirth more complex for maternity staff. In breaking news, it has been announced that Prince Harry and Meghan Markle will be marrying in St George's Chapel in Windsor. They are happy to marry in the spring, but they are likely to marry in the spring, but it is unlikely to be April, as the Duchess of Cambridge's third baby will be due. It will most likely occur in May. Kate Middleton spoke earlier today on the newly engaged couple.
William and I are absolutely thrilled. It's such exciting news. It's a really happy time for any couple, and we wish them all the best and hope they enjoy this happy moment.
Ireland's Deputy Prime Minister Frances Fitzgerald has offered her resignation, averting a snap general election. Fitzgerald had been at the centre of a Garda whistleblower controversy, which could have resulted in bringing down the government. There were fears that an election could have been complicated next month's EU meeting, at which the Republic of Ireland's position will influence the assessment of the UK's progress in Brexit talks. Prince Harry's engagement wasn't the only royal news this weekend, after there were reports of theft at Glasgow Royal's blood gig. Kendall Dick has more.
Concert goers in Scotland have been warned to be on the lookout for pickpocketers, especially in big venues like the Hydro. 28 suspected stolen phones were recovered by the Glasgow Police problem-solving team at the Royal Blood gig last Friday. 4 people are to appear in court today. A man was also arrested on suspicion of stealing more than 50 mobile phones at the band's concert in Birmingham last week. The band released a statement urging fans to take extra care of their belongings after thefts were also reported at their Cardiff and Reading shows at the start of the month.
We urge all fans attending our shows to be vigilant and to protect their personal property, particularly phones and wallets. Additionally, we shall be increasing venue security to specifically target the perpetrators and will be liaising with the police in this matter.
Although there was a promise of added security, fans didn't agree that extra measures had been taken.
So there was kind of normal pat-downs. There wasn't anything, I'd say, more different than any other gig at the Hydro. They just checked everyone on the way in, checking bags, that kind of thing.
We spoke to Jasmine at G4S to get some advice for fans on how to keep themselves and their belongings safe.
When you're going to big events, you keep your stuff safe by making sure that you take as little as possible, nothing precious or valuable. Keep your jacket pocket zipped up. Don't keep things in jeans pockets that it's easy to grab stuff out of. Take small bags, not rucksacks. Try and stay in a group or at least with someone else as much as you can so that they can keep an eye on you, especially if you have something to drink.
These types of targeting crimes are nothing new for Scottish music fans. In 2016, a suspected gang of pickpockets stole a haul of mobile phones at a Corn and Limb Biscuit concert. In 2014, police launched an investigation after dozens of handsets worth an estimated £10,000 were stolen at a gig. Both of these incidents happened at the Hydro. Whether more security is needed at gigs or fans need to be more vigilant, career criminals will continue exploiting fans unless further action is undertaken.
It is the 28th of November and Giving Tuesday is here in the UK. So what is Giving Tuesday? Our reporter Louise tells us more.
According to FNP Synergy, the charity sector makes an income of £39 billion per year. Today is Giving Tuesday, a day which celebrates charity and encourages everyone to get involved. The Charity Aid Foundation brought it over in the UK in 2014. Ben Russell, the company's Director of Communications, spoke to us about the day.
We started in the UK in 2014, and since then it's been amazing. So we've got 2,000 partners, charities, businesses, people, students, all sorts of people, all doing great things for charity today. Giving Tuesday is a day of giving. It's after the big sales of Black Friday and Cyber Monday, where loads of people can get bargains and good deals. Giving Tuesday is a day for giving back. So it's a day to do one thing for a good cause, whether it's giving some money or giving some of your time or just doing something good for somebody else.
Big companies are getting involved, such as Wilko's and QVC. Morrison's Supermarket are encouraging customers to donate at checkouts, and ASOS are holding a thank you day for employers who are involved with charities. Callum Nicol is a partnership fundraiser for The Home. He spoke to us earlier on.
Giving Tuesday, it seems like a really great initiative. We've only
this is the first year that we've really ran with it, to be totally honest, and we've tried to do something with it. I think it's still in its infancy and will take a bit of time to really grow and become something bigger. But just now, it's certainly a really big thing within the third sector and other charities. But whether it's actually reached out to the general public yet, I'm not sure. But really, we're confident and hopeful that it will. I think with Black Friday and Cyber Monday, it's very gimmicky and people are putting a lot of money out to things we don't necessarily need. And Giving Tuesday is giving people a platform and, again, promoting the charities out there that they really need the help more than a lot of organisations that are doing reductions in price. So I think it's a really good platform to try and pick up the industry.
In the next 24 hours, you can take part in any way with the hashtag Giving Tuesday.
That is all from EN4 News today. For more stories, head to our website, en4news.com.
This is Radio Energy News.